Welcome to Self-Compassionate Professor, a career wellness podcast for mid-career and recovering academics who want more. More meaning, balance, rest, joy, and more clarity. Our motto here is no regrets. So glad you're here. Hello, hello. Welcome. You are listening to episode 172, and I'm Danielle Delamar. So today I want to talk about the role that self-trust plays in paving a self-compassionate career path. And what I mean by this is if you often make decisions that undermine the health and wellness of your own mind, of your own body, of your own spirit, you know, like not getting enough sleep, not getting yourself to doctor's appointments, not giving yourself quiet time when you're feeling overwhelmed, not letting yourself be with your family and friends when you're longing for connection, right? Not letting yourself do these things because you're too busy, you're too stressed, you're too pressed for time, and you just can't manage showing up for yourself. And when you do that, you begin to develop this distrust within yourself. You have a relationship with yourself that then becomes distrustful. And there's this sense then that comes out of that, this sense of feeling unsafe within your own body. And when you don't feel safe within your own body, when you don't feel safe within yourself, you are going to either get really hopeless about your ability to support yourself. And so you just stop trying, right? So you just kind of let your life go on as it does, let your career sort of take off with you, and you just kind of get on the train and let it run its course, and you don't feel competent in your ability to make any changes, to do anything differently. And so this can feel like a lot of heaviness, a lot of sadness. It can feel like brain fog. It can feel like this lack of motivation, this lack of control. So that can happen. Another way we respond when we don't feel trust within ourselves is that we get really jumpy and excited, and we sort of proclaim that we're going to start taking care of ourselves and we're going to do it perfectly. And from here on out, dang it, I'm going to hold myself to this really high standard of career wellness, and I'm going to engage in this super, super strict self-discipline. And when we do this, you know what this feels like, right? It feels like fear and hypervigilance and over-efforting. It's a lot of self-pressure, and it feels like zero opportunities to rest, zero opportunities to relax, right? It's this sort of, I'm going to be well, and I'm going to work really hard at doing it. And the problem is, you're making this decision because you're not well in your career. And now you're just pushing through with an extra layer of pressure that you really don't need. And so it's obviously not sustainable. All right. So this is the deal. If you don't disrupt these unhealthy responses and start replacing them with responses that can help you to build self-trust, you stay in an unhealthy cycle and you can't develop any real traction toward career wellness when you're in that unhealthy cycle, right? You just keep looping back around, right? And it could very often go from, you know, that frenzied, I'm going to get this career wellness thing taken care of and do it well, and all that self-pressure because it's unsustainable, then pushes you into that hopeless, helpless state. And then you're feeling the sadness and the brain fog and the heaviness and all that, right? And this loop, this cycle just keeps repeating itself over and over, and you can't really get out of it. So, in these situations, in order to build trust, I'm going to suggest that you do three things. One, you're going to feel into the unhealthy response. You're going to notice what it feels like in your body. Two, you're going to connect to something you deeply, deeply care about. And three, you're going to notice and celebrate the choice you just made. So I'm going to talk about all of these a little bit more here in a second. And what you need to know is that if you do these steps over and over again until self-trust grows, you start living in a very different reality than you are now. Okay. So let's start with the first one, feeling that unhealthy response in your body. If you're in that really heavy place where you don't believe you can do it and it's hopeless, you're going to really feel the hopelessness in your body. You're going to feel all that might happen if you let go and surrender into the pain of the hopelessness, right? Like, I'm not going to be able to do this. And I feel that I'm not going to be able to do this. And it really hurts. And I can feel that as a tightness in my chest and a heaviness in my belly. And I'm just going to be with the feeling. I'm going to make space for the feeling. I'm going to really, really, really take some time to open up as wide as possible to that feeling, and I'm going to let that feeling get as big as it needs to be. When I've done this in a state of fight flight, right, where I was pushing really hard and I wanted to make sure everything went just right for this thing I was doing, and I was trying to be a perfectionist about it all, and I noticed that feeling in my body because it's just an awful feeling. You know what it's like. It's this. Like, you don't have any choice but to push forward and push forward really hard. And you have to ignore all the things that your body, mind, and spirit need because you've got to attach yourself to this thing, this thing you're doing, and you have to do it exactly right. So that very perfectionist-y way of being was showing up in me. And I was pushing myself to do the thing, and I noticed it. I recognized it. I felt it in my body. Right. And for you, this could be like a job talk or a conference presentation or a class or whatever it is. But for me, when I felt the energy to push and knew that I didn't want to be that way, I didn't want to do that anymore, I just sat with it. I actually sat on a stool in my kitchen. I remember pretty vividly. It's this little white stool for the kids, and it has little black polka dots on it. And I just sat on that stool and I let myself just feel really, really, really uncomfortable with that fight flight energy, right? Rather than pushing forward and doing that work as intensely as I felt I should do, I didn't let myself. Instead, I sat on that little stool and I let that attachment I had to the work get really big. And I let it feel really, really uncomfortable. And I let the fear I was having about not doing it in that moment get really big and really uncomfortable. And I thought I was going to burst for a minute. Like, I felt like a bubble that would just kept getting bigger and bigger and bigger to the point I was going to burst. And I'm telling you, right at that moment where it felt like I burst, I felt this instant relief. Like, all of that fear and all of that stress and all of that self-pressure just poofed, it went away.
And I remember just being astonished by it. Like, what just happened? I feel so much better. And I have literally been sitting here for like 2, 3 minutes. That's it. So again, you pull back and you feel those really uncomfortable feelings in your body. And you let them be there. And you don't have to sit on a stool. You can go for a walk. You can do jumping jacks, whatever you need to do, but let yourself feel the thing. The second thing you're going to do after you feel the thing is you're going to connect to something you really care about. You're going to be really present with it. So for me, that's often my kids, right? Like I will hold my son's hand. He's got this little 5-year-old hand. It's so beautiful and so sweet. And I'll hold his little hand, you know, just going like this morning, I went for a walk with him and my daughter, and I held that little hand of his, and it just felt warm and happy and nothing else mattered kind of thing, right? So that second step is connecting to the things you care about and being really present with those things. It might also be, you know, I'm just going to connect with my students and just be really present with them and really notice them, really witness them, really listen to them, really be there for them. And I'm just going to let myself just take all of that in and savor it because I love my students and I love showing up for them. And I'm not going to worry about anything else. I'm just going to be with them and I'm going to care about them. So find the thing you really, really value and get really present with it. All right, so you're letting yourself feel the discomfort. Then you're connecting to something you care about, something you really value. You're getting present with it. And then third, you are celebrating your commitment to your values. You're noticing that you have disrupted a pattern that's not working for you, a pattern that makes you feel terrible, and you've connected to something that you love. And now you're celebrating that you can choose to do that. Celebrate your commitment to choosing your values. Celebrate your commitment to walking a self-compassionate career path. Celebrate that you have a choice and you chose correctly. And then do this over and over and over again until you can build the trust that's going to put you on that self-compassionate career path more consistently. When you practice trusting yourself to do the thing that's good for you over and over and over again, you start to build trust in yourself. And self-trust builds on self-trust, builds on self-trust, right? You get better and better at it. You start to be able to surrender into it. It starts to be your default. And then, because you've practiced this over and over and over again, you're going to have this neural pathway that then tells you right away, okay, now we're going to connect to something we care about, and we're going to celebrate our ability to choose self-compassion, our ability to choose career wellness. But this is the thing. Self-compassion is key to being able to hold yourself through the discomfort, which is that first step to self-trust, right? If it is so uncomfortable to feel the thing, to feel the fear and the worry and the angst about your career that you can't turn into it, right? It's so uncomfortable that you have to sort of run away from it. Come to the self-compassion workshop series because we will talk about how to develop a self-compassion practice that allows you to hold yourself through the discomfort. Because when you can hold yourself through the discomfort, you can feel the discomfort. And when you feel it, you heal it, right? When you feel it, you can begin to move in the direction of self-trust. You can begin to move in the direction of career wellness. So, you have an opportunity to create some space for you to have the inner dialogue you need to have so that you can begin walking a self-compassionate career path, right? I'm offering the Mindful Self-Compassion Workshop Series. It starts on Wednesday, June 14th. It runs 1 hour starting at 1 p.m. Eastern every single Wednesday through July 19th. Most people that are now registered are, because it's summer, unable to make one or two of the sessions. And if that's you, that's fine. Just let me know and you can catch up, right? Like if you have to miss the session, I can send you a recording of like the main exercise that we did. You can register at selfcompassionateprofessor.com, go to career wellness workshops, and we will see you on Wednesday, this Wednesday, June 14th, where you will not only be taught to hold yourself, but people in the group can hold you as well. Right. And that is a lesson in and of itself, right? To let other people hold you, to surrender into the love and the care and the support of others. And if that's something that's difficult for you, come to the workshop, like learn how to do it, feel better. The deal is this. If you want career wellness, you got to do some uncomfortable things. And it's going to be hard at first. And it might be really scary at first. I know when I went to my first self-compassion workshop, I cried the whole time. And it was an in-person event with Kristen Neff, and it was like 7 hours long. It was like 9 to 4. And it was really uncomfortable. But that discomfort opened up space for me to realize there was another way, and that other way actually could feel good if I practiced it, right? It was an opportunity to lessen my suffering, because there was a lot of suffering back then in 2015, a lot of suffering. I was in deep, deep career crisis and about to have a huge health crisis. I didn't know that at the time. But I'm so glad I knew self-compassion when the health crisis hit, right? When I got the cancer diagnosis, I knew how to hold myself. I had practiced it already. I had learned how to do it already. And I dealt with that fear of not knowing what was going to happen to me with so much more depth and groundedness and aliveness than I would have before. Right? Before I would have tried to run away from it and not feel it. All right. I hope to see you at the Mindful Self-Compassion Workshop Series for Academics, June 14th to July 19th. You can register at selfcompassionateprofessor.com. Go to Career Wellness Workshops. See you soon. Take care.
Thanks for listening to Self-Compassionate Professor. Email me at danielle@selfcompassionateprofessor.com. And for those of you who are committed to finding career wellness, I invite you to join the sabbatical program. We're a group of academics who normalize rest, play, and feeling whole. We make career decisions from that place. Find out more at selfcompassionateprofessor.com.